Everyone knows that drugs can change your life. Drugs can also change a city, even a whole generation. Scott Jennings knows this firsthand.
1991, and Seattle was crackling with energy, centering on a hot software company calling itself Microsoft, and a thriving local music scene. I remember turning on the radio in my friend's borrowed car, just in time to hear an interview with one of the local favorites, a band called Nirvana. They played their new song, and a love affair began. It flat out rocked with a passion I'd never heard before. The album Nevermind followed a month later. Start to finish, I thought the album was perfect. Soft and loud, self-loathing and rage, playful and sarcastic. They knocked Michael Jackson off the charts and sent big hair heavy metal bands to the bargain bin. They were a big middle finger to the music industry. I remember Nirvana coming back from its European tour and putting on a triumphant show at the Paramount Theater. The show seemed to me like a party to celebrate a culture that we had created, and Nirvana's frontman Kurt Cobain was our Pied Piper. The media labeled 92 the year of grunge, but for us in Seattle it was nothing but a non-stop party. Friends of mine from around the country came to crash on my couch and be a part of what was going on. Our lives centered around catching shows at the local clubs and listening to records and making sure we sobered up enough to get to work the next day so we could keep our jobs and have money to catch more shows and buy more records. And it wasn't just Nirvana. All of our favorite bands got signed to major deals. Pearl Jam, Mudhoney, Soundgarden were kings of the music world. I remember talking to my dad back home in Iowa and telling him that I felt like I was standing on my Haight Ashbury and that this was our summer of love. But a funny thing happened along the way. The music that we enjoyed, the clothes that we scraped together, was selling, and selling big. Money was to be made, and the record companies and fashion industry had taken notice. Suddenly, people in flannel were walking down fashion runways. Our grunge movement had been co-opted. The mosh pits we once enjoyed now felt like a set for an MTV video, and I hated it. Newcomers were accused of being posers, and the mood turned adversarial in the clubs, and the scene started to show a dark, ugly side. And of course, much like the original Summer of Love, there was a companion drug culture. Instead of LSD, it was heroin. Instead of drop out, turn on, and tune in, people dropped out, turned off, and tuned out. Nirvana's album In Utero came out in September of 93, and it caught the mood perfectly. It was dark. The first time I heard it, it gave me chills and not the thrilling chills I felt when I heard Nevermind. The opening lines of the opening song set the tone. Teenage angst has paid off well. Now I'm bored and old. And it continued. Most telling was the song Rape Me. I hated the self-indulgence, the pity, and the sense when Kurt was giving up, his newly acquired heroin addiction laid bare.
Rape me. Rape me, my friend. Rape me. Rape me.
Just like the scenesters in Seattle had turned on themselves, Kurt was turning on himself, directing his once healthy cynicism of modern culture inward. From then on, it seemed like we were all on a countdown clock waiting for Kurt to check out. I'll never forget Kurt's performance on MTV's Unplugged, and it broke my heart.
I don't have the right. What else should I write?
6 months later, on April 8, 1994, Kurt took his own life. Once again, I was sitting in my car when I heard it over the radio. The moment from the first time I heard Nirvana to then was just a mere 2.5 years apart. The cliche ending to what became a cliche life of a rock star. They had their Joplin, Morrison, and Hendrix. Now we had our very own.
Scott Jennings now lives in Madison, Wisconsin, with his record collection and his wife, Beth, who's expecting their second son.